Disclaimer. Sort of. When I originally made this episode and released it to our Patreon crew on Tuesday, I was under the assumption that my boat was likely to be totaled in a Cat 3 or 4 hurricane. So my recorded intro may sound a little flippant given everything that we've seen in South Florida. I get kind of tired of all the forced apologies these days, but since I care about your opinion, I didn't want you to think that I was that kind of jackass. Oh, and I also forgot to thank our friend Lobo Loco for some of the music. Anyway, here it is. Ahoy there, Bradford here. And like many of you, I have hurricanes on the brain this week. Well, actually, one in particular, whose name starts with an I. It actually made me think about going back and listening to a podcast I did in 2017 about another hurricane whose name began with I, Irma. I'm struck not only by the eerie similarity of these two events, but it also happens that this episode was the beginning of what would become How Not to Sail. At the time, I was doing a podcast called The Multimedia Ninja, and I'd just gone out to the West Coast to Podcast Movement to pick up some new tips and inspiration, which turned out to be the end, at least temporarily, of my old podcast, The Multimedia Ninja, and the beginning of How Not to Sail. As of this moment, it's unclear exactly where Hurricane Ian is going to strike, but it looks a little better than it did yesterday. For my boat, anyway. Which means it's not good for other folks. My thoughts are with everyone in the path of the storm. I hope you stay safe, and if you get hit, I hope you recover quickly. Here's what happened 5 years ago as the Admiral and I headed north away from the boat and Hurricane Irma. We left Florida early to escape from what we figured would be horrific traffic headed north. We were feeling good because the spaghetti map showed Hurricane Irma scraping the east coast of Florida and leaving us mostly alone. I'd done a lot of traveling lately, for me. Just a few days earlier, I'd returned from Podcast Movement 2017 in Anaheim. I was actually there on my 50th birthday, which normally I would have spent on the boat, but I thought it was important to kick off my second half century with a little self-improvement. And, of course, a podcast episode.
All the way from London, England, Mr. Anthony McGinnis.
Thank you very much. Ant. Yeah, it's McGinley. But it happens all the time.
Three things struck me from the convention. One is how much preparation successful podcasters put into their shows, especially for interviews.
Now I'm ready.
You have a gut answer to what your biggest challenge as a multimedia ninja is?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Another thing that left a huge impression on me was all the people doing off-the-cuff recording. In hallways, in their rooms, at the pool, wherever. In their hands were portable Zoom recorders, smartphones, whatever got the job done. Unlike my podcast, these were all audio-only podcasts. And seeing how spontaneous and free they were was a definite aha moment. I hate to say it, but despite being in my third year of podcasting, I really hadn't listened to a lot of podcasts. So maybe my most important takeaway from Podcast Movement 2017 was that, although it's great to be original, if you want to produce a great podcast, you need to listen to great podcasts. So I started doing just that on the flight home. And what caught my ear on a lot of the most compelling podcasts was the focus on storytelling and the dedication to creating this sort of audio landscape. Just by coincidence, when I got home, I pulled a brochure out of my bag from a company called Hindenburg. I know. What were they thinking with that name? Anyway, I installed the demo, decided I liked it a lot, and went right into making last week's episode.
Tuesday night, north winds around 20 knots, sea 6 to 8 feet. A slight chance of showers. Wednesday, northeast winds around 20 knots, sea 6 to 8 feet.
Which is obviously very different from the usual. Once I got started with the radio-style production and added some music beds and sound bites, it started to sound pretty ominous. And the situation was pretty ominous for J.C. Sales. So here's the problem. My concern in leaving had been more for getting ahead of the traffic and less in preparing for a major hurricane. It's a mistake I won't be repeating. I'd set the dock lines pretty well, but I didn't fold up and put the cover on the cockpit awning, or the bimini. I didn't take out any of the thousands of dollars worth of gear, tools, books, and the like. I left our mechanic working on the engine mounts and asked him to close up. I thought we'd probably just be looking at tropical storm force winds and no real storm surge.
Literally just moments ago, we got the new advisory in for Hurricane Irma. The storm surge warning now does include the Tampa Bay, and also the storm surge watch has been expanded on the east.
Back in Atlanta, what we were hearing was not good.
The worst of the storm surge will occur on the back end of the storm.
Irma was trending toward the Gulf Coast, not the East Coast. In fact, the track was moving right over Tampa Bay.
6 to 10 feet now, moving up towards the Tampa Bay area. Tampa Bay, your numbers now are in the 5 to 8 foot range, which is very devastating for the Tampa Bay area. That is a high amount of storm surge to come.
If the forecast was right, I figured the first thing that would happen was that all the water would suck out of the marina, leaving a lot of heavy boats dangling from the pilings, which would soften up all the docks for round two. Then would come winds of over 100 miles an hour, and then the real storm surge. If we got more than 5 feet, I figured all the boats would slip their lines off the tops of the pilings, or just pull the pilings out. In my mind, I could just see a pile of boats in the corner of the marina. I texted my friend John just before he evacuated, and he was able to strike my bimini and take my chart plotter out of the cockpit. But I had a sick feeling in my stomach. All of the books, all of the electronics, binoculars, charts, flags, all of the little things that represented the last 4,000 miles of sailing. I was afraid they'd all be destroyed, that JC would be half sunk in the bay or in someone's yard, jumbled up with a bunch of other boats. What wasn't ruined would be looted before I could even get back to her. I was an idiot. I hadn't even taken the dinghy and motor from the cabin. JC was insured, but not for anything close to what she was worth. I couldn't salvage a half-sunk boat. If she didn't survive intact by some miracle, I'd need her to be a total loss. And there's no way I'd be able to buy another boat anytime soon. I hated to admit it, but I was already having thoughts about what to do with the insurance money. I felt ashamed, like I'd let JC down. Sitting on the couch at home in Atlanta, we devoured cable news and the Weather Channel, and I would peek at the marina webcam from time to time. The last thing I saw before the marina camera went offline was a disturbingly low tide. There was nothing more I could do. I downed a few beers, put on my blue JC Sales captain shirt for good luck, and went to bed. I couldn't take any more suspense. I'd have to find out in the morning whether I still had a boat or not. Monday, September 11th, 2017. At first, nothing. Stories on TV about a lot of damage to the Gulf Coast. And then, at 9:56 a.m., on my Facebook page, was a post from Dennis the Harbor Master with a picture of JC after the storm. And this message: Bradford, your vessel made it out just fine. In the picture, the sky is overcast and the dock is wet, but JC Sales sits in her slip as if nothing happened. On her starboard side is what appear to be some scratches, but on closer examination are actually slivers of wood that she's gouged out of the piling. JC's always been a scrapper. I suppose the obvious thing to say here would be how you don't realize how much something means to you until it's taken away, or almost taken away. And that's absolutely true in this case. But another takeaway here is just, I'm an idiot. Owning an ocean-going boat teaches you to take care of things quickly and prepare for the worst. I've gotten a lot better at it. In fact, it's even carried a little bit into other parts of my life. But Hurricane Irma proved that I'm still a slacker. There's really not a whole lot more I could have done for the boat itself. But for the love of Mike, next time at least I can take everything out, so maybe I'd have a chance to start over. I just hope there isn't a next time. Obviously there is a next time, and it's now. And did I learn my lesson? No! Maybe I will have it together next time. Big thanks to Reefer Mike, Jim, and Francine for helping me get stuff together. Big thanks as always to our awesome Patreon crew and Latitudes and Attitudes, America's number one boating lifestyle magazine. And huge thanks to you for listening. Thanks to Gaither for the awesome Apple Podcasts 5-star review. Keep them coming. And the same for the How Not to Sail book. I greatly appreciate it. Don't forget you can sign up free for the Zoom party. Make sure to do it soon because it's coming up. Just go to hownottosail.com/party or to today's show notes at hownottosail.com/43 if I'm not having a senior moment. I'm proud to announce we have Mr. Eric Stone providing music for the party. Also, if you happen to join the Patreon crew before Wednesday, October 12th, you'll be getting an invite to the patrons-only meetup in Annapolis. I don't know why we changed key there. It's actually going to be a fun meetup. At any rate, if you're in Florida, please rush your preparations to completion. Be safe. I hope you stay out of harm's way. And I will see you next time on How Not to Sail, Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
Tuesday night, north winds around 20 knots, seasick 6 to 8 feet. A slight chance of showers. Wednesday, northeast winds around 20 knots, seasick 6 to 8 feet.